Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander, to the left of Mr. Cavanaugh.
That's correct. Anyway,
more like Hollywood Squares. But
well, we're in reverse, so you have no idea where we really are here on Zoom. Anyway, we have a good show for you this week. We're going to talk about a big announcement the AKC had on the application process to judge and who that affects, who it doesn't, and what questions it might raise. Well done by the AKC. Also, we're going to talk about some shows that Will and I have been to, and of course, some updates on Unleashing Mr. Darcy. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Hey there, Will. No, it's been a long weekend for both of us. How you holding up, pal?
I am dragging, my friend. I am dragging.
Well, what you can't see out there, ladies and gentlemen, is that we both have coffees. We're not even coffee drinkers. It's been a long week and all for the good. We were running around at dog shows and had a great time. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you went to Novi, which is closer to me, actually.
Yeah, people always go, you're all the way in Novi. It's 3.5 hours for me.
I know. It's true.
It's good weather. Yeah. I've always enjoyed that show, you know, and they had the memorial to Donnie there. Donnie Leonard passed away. Yeah. His wife, yeah. Kelly, ran the show. It went off tickety-boo. It always does. It's a well-run show, and it's a big show. That's a huge building. My God, I was getting tired of walking that. But, you know, it was beautiful all weekend. We had a little bit of snow. Sunday, you look out, and there's weather warning. And now, it was only bad right there, though. I get a half an hour out of Novi or Detroit, and smooth sailing. So
good. And they let you over. The bridges are open for you.
Yep. I took Port Huron both ways because of the problem in Windsor and Detroit border. I had no problems. Now, when I left on Wednesday, I took Port Huron. I got through no issues, but it was lined up 9 miles back coming into Canada.
Oh, yeah, because you can't.
They diverted everybody from Ambassador to Port Huron.
Sounds like fun. Do you have the zip plane or something for your commercial thing?
The zip plane.
We told you we need coffee, folks. Zip plane. Isn't there some sort of
zip lane? Like I don't fly, Wade.
Just shoot yourself over the river, Will. The zip plane.
Okay, I'm ready. Put me in. But I don't have that. I don't have that card to do it. So. But it's been never really bad. Like only a couple times in my illustrious transporting career have I been lined up over the bridge. So
yeah, it's a long one. Well, the thing about these shows this time of year, I was in Grays Lake, which is just south of Chicago, outside of Chicago, and which from my house, I've got 2 hours to you or 3 hours to Grays Lake. And
right.
For me, for what I needed to do and see, that was my choice. But the snow was an issue both ways, and I planned on coming home Sunday night, you know, right after the groups. And Cheryl called and said, we got a blizzard here in Kalamazoo, and there's too much snow, and you better stay. So I stayed over and then got up and came home in the morning, and the roads were crystal clear. Oh, so all was well.
People, because of our podcast, people kept saying, oh, is Wayne here? Is Wayne here?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Every time I was in Terry Station, just Cavanaugh here yet? I don't think he's coming.
Yeah, it was right down to the last minute. You know, you got to look at the entries. And as we've discussed before, not only do I have to have a major, but it has to be a judge that has 12 years judging experience. Well, that's not always easy to find. You can have someone who is a superstar in Gordon Setters all their life, but just got their license 9 years ago. That doesn't qualify. That doesn't qualify.
But you know what? Because of our conversation, because of our podcast last week, we created good conversations at ringside this past. Like this one woman came up to me. She was the nicest lady. She had lads and chihuahuas. And she acted like, well, she said she knows us both now. So it's like, she knew about the puppy. She knew about the fees it cost to become a judge. She's like, oh, yeah. It was like talking to an old friend.
Yeah, that's great. That's how we want it to be. Yeah. Well, we certainly welcome you into our lives. We tell you everything that's going on. But, it really is fun. You did too. We both got emails, and I even got a Facebook message and a post about unleashing Mr. Darcy.
It came in fast and furious.
It really did. I don't know if we've had more emails on any topic.
And now we know they're all Hallmark watchers.
That's right. Yeah, well, I think we know Hallmark that now.
Sponsor us, Kavanaugh.
Yeah, you gotta make some calls. I have great news for you.
Bye, Hallmark.
Great news for you, ladies and gentlemen. There's a sequel. Marrying Mr. Darcy. Now, I don't want to tell you, that title kind of spoils unleashing, but I guess you got to unleash him before you marry him and put him back on the leash. So it's sort of like the unleashing and the leashing.
Well, I had one person, a friend of mine, Diane Elwood, she said that she knew the writer and that we should probably have a watch party with the writer alive on the Dog Show Drive.
Wow, that would be big. So
the Dog Show Drive becomes almost like an audio book for people.
That's right. We are Siskel and Ebert. Is that what they Siskel and Ebert. That's what we are.
Journey. Oh, no, wait a second.
One movie a year, and that's Mr. Darcy. Anyway, oh, goodness. But I had a great time out there. You know, it's always so good to catch up. But one thing that was the talk of the show, and this isn't to make any show better than another, but it just so happened that the top four or five dogs in every group happen to land in Gray's Lake. And I guess one way, and I hadn't thought of this, but someone said to me, well, you know, there is no Westminster. There's not many shows. Yeah. There's just not many shows. So we had people from California. We had people from Florida. We had people from everywhere. And they all ended up in one place. I guess the panels were something they were interested in, or I don't know what, but maybe the airports, I don't know. But there were dogs from all over. And they were really good dogs in Novi as well. But boy, those lineups in Gray's Lake was like watching the garden.
Yeah.
It was really fun to see. Yeah, fun to see them go head-to-head, the good dogs. And interesting judging both places. I think we saw some new dogs break through. And some new stars on the horizon, which is always fun. And I think, these dogs were primed and ready for the garden.
That's right.
Yeah. There's one in particular, a dog that I saw in September that looked good, but boy, did she look very good. And just having that 4 or 5 month period to ramp up, man, she looked like she was just an international good thing. So international good thing, by the way. And I'm going to ruin this, but some Alaskan Malamute came from another country. Could have been Spain. Could have been, I don't know. Could have been Samoa. I don't really remember. Started with an S, I think. Anyway, he was a big hit. And a big hit, he's a big dog. But he came in and did some winning, and a dog no one had seen before. So
that's always that's always exciting to see when a dog just shows up and no one knows it and it's still is victorious,
It was fun. And I had
just shows to go, yeah.
It shows to go, yeah. That's right. Well, I had an interesting thing. I'm in search of the CEUs. Well, it's a thing. I hate to admit it, but that's what you got to do. And I was really excited that there was a giant Legato entry. Legato. I'm sure there's a better way to say it.
Como arigato, Mr. Legato.
Yes, indeed. Arigato. Anyway, it was a good size entry in majors. And Wally Sommerfeld was doing it. Wally's just, he's just a good guy. He's a good, real good dog judge. And he has a passion. He likes to do it his way. And he really is interested. And he was very good about me observing under him. I'm sorry, apprenticing, they call it now. If they just leave the damn terms one way and God, provisional, permit, observe, apprentice. Anyway, we had a great time. And when he was handing out the ribbons, he said to the people, would you let Mr. Kavanaugh go over your dogs? And they said, yes. I thought, wow, that's perfect. And one woman had six of them. And one was from Serbia. And the different coat textures, because, you know me, it's coat and coat color. I want to know if white curls tighter in this woolly texture than brown. You know, I want to know all that. And she had every color of the rainbow. And you got your hands right in there. You could feel those back skulls, that blunt wedge. You could feel that beautiful back skull, the thickness and coming straight as a blunt wedge, not a wedge at all. And describing the legginess that they require underneath them. It was really educational. I mean, I couldn't get enough. Ryan Wolf hooked me up on that. It's his client. So thanks, Ryan. Good to see him out there. Good, just a good dog guy.
Yeah, I didn't know Ryan was there. Okay.
Yeah, good handler, too.
Yeah, really good. Forever.
Yeah, but anyway, that was great fun. And then I observed, apprenticed, Wieslin Weimaraners as well. And that was fun. And I have to tell you that there's an interesting byproduct that I did not realize that I brought to the party, Will. You think you're in there just like a pylon, kind of like. Who was the Maple Leaf they used to call the pylon?
We had a few of them.
No, the big tall defenseman. He was captain.
Dion Phaneuf.
Yeah, Dion Phaneuf. I was Dion. I was the pylon. So, but I was standing next to Ken. Right. I mean, that's what you do. And when they're going down and back, you walk or you're standing right next to them, and not right next to them. You give yourself a little breather. And you wouldn't believe how many perplexed handlers there were, Will. And you know why? What did that prevent, Will?
Their big old Curtis Turner, their behind the back spin, swim, trip, fart, down and back.
What do you call it again? That was beautiful.
Whoop, dip, fart, turn. There you go. That was Billy Mill. I can't steal that. Billy Mill, that was him.
Well, there were no loop-de-loops because they'd come up to do it. And I'm standing right there. And they're like, I guess we got to just go down and back without all that. And, you know, I love it when they have a short code of breathing.
Unless they think it's body contact sport, they just knock you out of the way.
Knock you over, yeah. I love when they have a brush on a soft coated on a short coated breed. Like they're going to go back there and groom it. And then oh my! What has happened? What has happened? Yeah. And we mentioned those great junior showmanship rules last week, and I thought of it all the time.
I love that you sent that to me. I have it on my phone now. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I'll have to post that somewhere. Maybe I'll do it under our podcast and so people can read it. But it's just spectacular wording about how you should disappear and how you should present your dog. But oh my, it was fun to watch. Really fun to watch.
Ramon, when you read that to me, it made me think of Garrett Lambert because that's how he always yelled at me about that. Say, you know, you had to disappear. He was always adamant about that. Too early.
A little more espresso there, Will. Yeah. And God, Forsythe is the same way. I mean, he was hard to disappear because of his presence, but he certainly was the king of the economy of motion.
Yeah. Like
there was no wasted motion there with Bob. He just made the dog look good and you had to figure out the rest. That was just great fun to watch. No one could stand behind an Old English or stand behind a whippet like he did. And there never will be anybody that can do it like that. Hey, by the way, I'm cleaning out my office. Yes, sure, make me. It got a little out of control. And I found a picture of Bob and Jane with a nice little note. It must have been for our wedding, wishing us the best in our future endeavors.
Aww.
And I'm so glad I found it. And that'll get framed and hang in the office. Yeah, it's a great picture. Great picture. Anyway, I had a great time. Linda Hurlboss was there. And she was, you know, a great handler, great rep for a long time. And having her judge after being a rep, I love talking to those people. Because they know how important it is. They've had to read every standard 5,000 times.
Right.
And she's just one of those people that is a, you know, like I think I am, and I hope others are, a student forever, you know, wants to keep learning. And really enjoyed talking to her. And Charlotte Patterson was there, and Wally, of course, and Ken. And we just had a good panel with a good time. And Adam and Katie were there. Got to see, and the Fox Sound bitch was right in front of me for most nights. And I guess I'm not supposed to say that, but there she was. And I can just tell you, it was nice to see her. In my opinion, she's a beauty, and I don't know anything about anything. So don't take that as a promotion. I don't judge those. Anyway, never mind. Shut up, Calvin. The big news this weekend is that there is a change to the judging approval process.
Well, that's interesting. I never heard a thing about that at Novi.
It's the biggest change. Well, they announced it Monday after. The biggest change in a very long time. Now, it's complicated, and I've been through it quite a few times, and there's still questions. And Tim, who's really good at this, is having a webinar in March where you email in your questions now, and then he'll answer them. He's real good at explaining, because I don't know why. It just always seems like it's in legalese, you know, and I'm trying to pare it down for myself so I can explain it without reading it to everybody, because it's just complicated. I can tell you the essence of it.
Ready.
If you, I would call this the Peter Green part. If you never have applied before, so if you're a first-time applicant, you can apply for the whole group if you're as good as Peter Green. And that's not going to happen much. But you get nominated by the field staff. And if you happen to meet this set of criteria they lay out, you get to apply for one group, the whole group, one time. And I think there are those exceptions that we need to consider. And I'm just thrilled that the AKC is doing that. I don't think it's going to be used often, but it gives them a way to do it. And I think it's wonderful. You do have to pay, of course, $35 per breed.
That's not all.
Well, that's not all. You get to pay $40 for a badge, too, if you want.
For a mere $16 a month.
A mere $35 a breed, you too can be a whole group judge. Now, what I don't understand.
Is that what it is? $35 a breed?
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to take the exams. But it seems to me, the way it's written, I'll wait for the next part to do that. So that's the Peter Green rule. And I think it's a great change for those very few exceptions that are good for that. Now, the bigger one is if you have two groups or more, you can apply for a half a group. So if you have two, you can, or three. If you have two groups or three groups, you can apply for half a group for your next one. If you have four groups or more, you can apply for a whole group. I guess what this does is it gives us more multi-group judges. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a show chairman who told me that there are something like 13 all-arounders now, and only, let's see if I can find it. No matter how he's putting a panel together, no matter how I look at it, and no matter what combinations of any four groups I search for, it never comes up with more than 35 names. 13 of them are now all breed judges. Now, these may be off one or two, but you get the gist of it. Yep. We only have about 35 people who can judge four groups. A lot of shows want four group judges.
Yep.
Now we're going to have more of them. Is that where the focus should be here, Will?
Not ideally. I see where they're coming from. I see that the shows are getting smaller. So the clubs have to have less judges, and they're looking for ones that can do more at those shows.
Yeah.
Like up here, you need an Albury judge at every show, if not two of them, you know, get the show done, because you just can't afford the amount of judges you need to judge the dogs. So,
well, what happens here is that you're going to have right now 35 names that if you, any mix of four groups, any mix, is only 35, and 13 are Albury judges. Now, when you have 10 million shows a weekend, that herd gets pretty thin. So this would allow us to have the show chairman, show chairs, never mind men, it's women have done an extraordinary job, obviously, an option to come up with more multi-group judges to fill their panels. I know another way. Don't have so many damn dog shows.
Yeah. But we know that's not going to happen, because they up here, my whole thought was, you know, if they're dying, not don't let them die, but maybe give them a year off, get strong again, and come back.
It's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen, you know.
We've changed. This sport has been changed forever. The genie's out of the bottle, and there's nothing you can do about it. So instead of cutting back on dog shows, what do? We give them more multi-group judges. Now, does that, and by the way, I'm for this. I am absolutely, I'm thrilled about this, because there's plenty of judges out there with four that should certainly not have to go through hoops and stuff to get the next group, because they've been around the sport for their whole life and they know those breeds. It's not free. You got $35 a breed, but you also have to take the test, and you have to get interviewed too. So it's not just like you get the group. And again, you have to be nominated by the field reps to even go through the process. It's not just everybody gets one. You've got to be nominated by the field staff. And they're out there every weekend. They know who can judge and who can't.
Yeah.
So
is it like nominated? Like you don't know? You'll get a letter in the mail saying, oh, guys, congratulations.
Yes. And you can say yes or no.
Okay. Interesting.
You can say yes or no. I don't know if you can
lobby my mailbox right back.
Okay. I don't know if you can lobby for it or not. And then there's a third. And by the way, there are going to be details forthcoming, because some of this raises a whole bunch of questions, right? But you're not off the hook for your, it looks like that you don't have to have all the CEUs to get that whole group. You don't have to have all the CEUs to get the half group if you're a two or three group judge. And you don't have to have all the CEUs to get the fifth group if you're a four group judge, or a five group to get a six group and so forth. But you do have to show that you're doing these educational things along the way. So you're not off the hook for every single point. Well, you are off the hook for every single point, but you still have to prove ongoing education. These are all provisional, permit status when you have them. So you get them for, it's either 18 months or 2 years, depending on which of the paths you take, that you're still permit. And you get reviewed after that period of time. If the field staff says, yeah, all the reports were great, they got this, you go to regular status after 2 years or 18 months. And if you... If you're not real good at it, they can say, you know what, you're going to stay permit and you're going to have to show a whole lot more educational things. Or they can say, you know what, we're taking them away. And I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
I like that as well.
We needed a rule where they can take away breeds forever. It's not anybody's fault. Maybe get into a group and you realize, geez, I'm having a hard time with that breed. Maybe I don't need it right now. They're not taking it away forever. They're just taking it away for then. And maybe you can go permit and do what you need to do, get more education and go back. But if someone screws up Afghans 500 times, you don't want them to do 501. Anyway, these are the general perceptions. There are details. I am not, God forbid, a representative of the American Kennel Club to explain this to you. I'm just giving it my interpretation of what I read, and I think it's accurate. There's one more. Will, there's one more.
Okay.
And this one makes me really damn happy. By the way, this might affect you.
Oh.
The Johann rule. Foreign judges are back. So if you move to this country and you've been an Aubrey FCI judge all your life, you do not have to go through all the hoops of one breed at a time. What do you get? I think you go one group at a time. I think you're back to the same thing. The one group. It's 14 pages long of the tiniest print I've ever read in my entire life. So it's really, I have this
at my desk now.
That's a good idea.
I'm holding up a magnifying glass, people.
This is pretty damn tiny. You can hear me ruffling these pages here.
But you know what's bad when you're reading a book and you try to expand it like your phone? You think, oh, I'll just make it bigger. You can't.
This is printed on a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. This is what I'm trying to read. I believe it's 4-point type. I'm pretty sure. If you individual judge AKC events are immediately able to apply for additional breeds in the transition process. So again, it's one of those things you get nominated. You have to start, and your foreign judges on the exempt list will be approved to judge unlimited assignments in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Board of directors shall approve.
That's like the old grandfather rule then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's some judges out there. And Johann Berser,
for sure.
Who doesn't love him? He's a great judge. He will finally not be back to one breed at a time. And I think that's a really good job of the AKC saying, and I think this is our group of field reps. We have great field reps right now.
We certainly do.
I think they've gotten together and said, hey, listen, these are people that should be judging every weekend. We've got a bunch of ones that can't. We need ones like Wendy Paquette and Johann to be able to get in this country and do it right. Johann didn't want to leave Puerto Rico. His house blew down in a hurricane.
Right, yeah.
What he had to go through. And he's just such a great asset to the sport. So those things and the details are going to be forthcoming, I'm sure. But
well, it's going to affect. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, now, here's the thing. There's always a thing. So when you think about this, if you have no groups, no breeds, in other words, you've never applied before, you can get a whole group. If you have two groups or three groups, you can get a half a group. If you have four, five, or six groups, you can get another group. If you've applied once, you're no longer a first-time applicant. You gotta do it the old school way. So that whole bunch of people that have between 3 and 30 breeds, no changes for them. As I read it, I don't know if it's because there's nothing in here that says there are exceptions if you started the process. Because what if Peter Green already had Wires and Westies?
Oh, exactly. Like, look at George Wright has half the, I don't know what he has now. But last time I spoke with him, he only had half the Terry group.
Well, that's probably all he can have.
That's George Wright, you know?
Yep. According to this, the way I'm reading it, it's only for first-time applicants you can get a whole group. So George's got to go through what I'm going through is one breed at a time, one CU at a time. And that's fine. I mean, it's just that's – but I think it's interesting. And I guess in the purest sense, when I think of
– I hope you walk down to your mailbox and you open it up and there's Ed McMahon. And he says, Mr. Kavanaugh, you've been nominated for the whole supporting group.
I don't know. I'm fine. But it really does. It's a great tribute to the reps and the judges show ops department, whatever they call it, of Tim and that crew, to really roll up their sleeves and say, listen, we need to do something.
No, they had to.
They've done a great job with this. My only concern, and it's nothing they can do, nothing they can stop about this, is they have focused on giving people that have groups more groups. And they have not done anything about the breeders who might want to have, a couple more breeds at the mid-level second application. So this gives clubs even more reason to have a billion shows because they can have a whole lot more multi-group judges come in and keep them feasible financially.
Yeah.
I hope they remember that there are people out there that have, there are plenty of people who have three groups that specialize in those groups, and I'm sorry, three breeds, and they're really good at them. They've bred them forever, and hire those people, clubs. I mean, they'll probably come cheap if they're close by. You know, look for those too. Because without those breeds, you can't get. You need to judge each breed three times before you permit, and they've got to be competition to do that. So if it's going to be all multi-group judges judging, how are people going to advance their permit status on 12 breeds, 24 breeds? So I don't know.
Yeah, makes a difference.
I think they fit the sport perfectly with a set of rules. I just wish this wasn't the sport they had to fit. Mm. And that's all I got to say about that. What do you think, young William?
All the news is fit to print. Yeah,
sounds good. I think what you're thinking is, yeah, let Kavanaugh complain or tell him how great this is either way. I know what I'm thinking. I'm Canadian. I got a shot.
That's not at all what I was thinking. I was thinking about breakfast. Should I have maple syrup on my bacon? Yeah. I'm not over here deep thinking over here, Wayne.
I mean, there is. I don't know. I don't know if you have to move here and be an expat to get a group, or you're allowed to stay in Canada and go. And I don't know how it works for you.
I don't know. Like you, I'll just keep going along the way I'm going. I have another assignment this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. So.
You know, and really, every time you observe or judge a breed, you learn something. I have no problem with it. It just takes so damn long, and it costs so much damn money that people. I talked to a judge who's really qualified, really qualified. And she's not even going to finish a sporting group because she sees me sitting there at the lunch table filling out all these CU forms, getting all these observation reports. She's like, no way I'm going to do that. No way.
Well, because there's people out there, I have friends that, out there that they've already felt they've given 50 years to this sport. Why do they have to give more to do the natural progression?
Yeah. We talked about tests a bunch of judges did. And it was an interesting little discussion because a lot of people struggle with these breed tests. Mm-hmm. I've never failed one. I've taken the whole sporting group, and I think the most I've gotten wrong is one, and that's not often. I don't think it's hard for me, but I happen to be okay at taking tests.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of these are really good dog people I'm talking about who don't have the they're not. That's not their skill, is test taking.
Well, my buddy Colin, that's the biggest thing he's afraid about. He says he's terrible at taking tests. You can ask him anything you want about almost any breed, and he'll tell you, but he's worried about taking that test.
Yeah. Well, I found when I was cleaning out the same file where I found the Bob and Jane picture, I found my breed test from 1989. It was on paper. And it was multiple choice. It said the Labrador should be, and then it would say tall, racy, squatty, dumpy, whatever. You had a circle one with a pen, and that was your answer. And they were a whole lot easier to take than these tests where they, is it 4/5 or fifth, you know, is the muzzle 4/15 of the length of the back skull, or is it 6/15, you know? Are the front nails of the Legato more curved than the back nails? That's true. It's pretty interesting, but
it's interesting because there are so many people out there that can apply it. They can go and judge anything, and they just know. But can they tell you why?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I had a judge this weekend who I think is one of our best. And this judge cannot verbalize what he's seeing, but he sure sees it, and it's beautiful to watch. Just, I don't know what it is, but you know, and he's right every time. You know, he's a brilliant dog man, but it's interesting. You just have these conversations at ringside, and by the way, you know the way they have the little area for the group for the judges all to sit in the group ring.
Yep,
that's an interesting little dynamic.
Cool. Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, I wanted more.
Well,
yes, Wayne.
You're not supposed to talk about. Anything. You're not supposed to talk about the breeds that you like or don't like. But I can tell you, it was a dog standing right in front of you that has a particular quality. a few of you are going to go, whoa, look at that on that.
You know, my favorite part when I was starting a new dog, it was Rick Shishunian. I would have a new dog in the group ring. He'd be like, hey, kid, bring that dog over here. Let me see. And he'd be sitting there and he's like, hard to get this one. You know?
But not allowed anymore. You're promoting. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I just love every bit of it. And I think these rules, these new rules are going, unfortunately, they have to meet this new crazy sport of 10 billion shows. But it does bring us to more multi-group judges and not a lot of breed specialists. And that makes me sad because I'm old. I think everyone should be a breed specialist. Now, bring me Crufts where you get to judge one breed all day. And that's the only dog show you should have. But it does, you know, it probably lends itself to more generic sure dogs in certain instances, but there's plenty of all breed judges, well, multi-group judges that know breed type in most breeds. And you're never going to know it in all, as far as I'm
concerned. No, you cannot. You cannot. And I don't think you can, but we all have, if we're good dog people, we all have that ability to find the good one. We just cannot tell you why it's a good one, you know, sometimes, you know. We were talking about reps. Like at Nova, I had Jeffrey and Sandy there. They were the best. I enjoyed standing at ringside and just talking dogs with both of them. That was so much fun.
That is fun. And it's you learn and you better get it right. You know, Sandy's not going to take any crap from anybody. She just knows so much.
She is right on. Like if I saw her, she probably thought I was stalking her because I saw her sitting at ringside watching a breed I was interested in. I was there. And we talked about certain dogs in the ring, and then it was fun to see them both and talk dogs with both of them. I really enjoyed
it. That's a great dog. I mean, he's going to be a great rep. And Greg too. Yeah. I mean, we've got to think about the knowledge we've got right now in the field staff. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's also fun to watch the ones, like I mentioned with Linda, that were reps and are now judges. I think they have a better understanding of what it's like. You know, I do wish there was a way that all field reps were judges first, but that can't happen.
Yeah.
Just because they don't know what's going on in the ring, the whole mental process. But they got a pretty good idea. I mean, these are good dog people. So, yeah, kudos to the AKC and the staff for coming up with these really good new rules. There's a lot of details that need to be worked out. A lot of questions I have.
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. That's for sure.
Yeah. If it matches the sport we have.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for. But, you know, in my world, it'd be, you'd have 100 judges every show and they'd all go broke. Breed experts in every breed. But hey, you know, it was fun too. All the new breeds in the ring. And you know, it was really fun. All judges saying, what the hell is that? Do you know what that is? I'm not kidding.
Well, so I remember being in the ring with our friend Doug Belter, the Dare to Be Rare Doug Belter, and I would have a rare dog, and he'd have a rare dog, and a judge would come up to make the cut, and he'd just say, you two. You two over there.
Yep. Yeah, it reminds me of, I know for me personally, I took it very seriously. I haven't owned the biggest coonhound registry in the world for 15 years. I think I know a little bit about coonhounds and I've judged hundreds and hundreds of them, maybe thousands. But when they came in, all I could think of was if a bad one gets on a roll, that's going to make everybody that comes down the line.
Right. Mark the breed.
Yep. And if that happens, sometimes, you know, judges aren't even going to bother getting into the details of the standard or going to somewhere else to learn. They're going to just take that as gospel, and that's what's going to win for the rest of their life. And that did happen in some of the coonhound breeds, in my opinion. And it happens for every new breed that comes in.
Oh, sure it does. You know, a rare dog comes in, and it's a great little show dog. It catches everybody's eye, and it's done up as a show dog is, and hey,
before you know it, right?
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, Bob. Is it Bob's your uncle? What is that?
I don't know.
I happen to have an Uncle Bob.
I don't. I have an Uncle George. George is your uncle.
It's your uncle. Oh, that's beautiful. so. What else you got, Will?
Oh, I don't have a lot this morning, Wayne, I'm afraid.
Did tell me you were getting emails about our courtesy turn dilemma.
Oh, that was amazing. And at the dog show. At the dog show, people thought it was hilarious, our description of the handlers going off in the corner and doing whatever it is they do. And then so it created great conversation at the dog show again, because probably at least – once every 2 hours after the dog show, someone would say, "Oh, I love that when you talked about you guys talked about the describing the down and back where they go off behind you and then all of a sudden they appear in the corner and they're doing their hair."
It's funny. I mean, it's funny. And these people were adamant about it. It is funny. I've got it. If I don't go back there and get the speed up and get the lead right, I'm like, honey, it's been working for years. You just turn. It's a J. You just turn around and go. It's not that hard. And the thing is, and seriously, it's not just the ridiculousness of it and the circus of it. It's the fact that I want to see the dog walk away a few steps.
Oh, so by the time it hits you, tape there, like we need a judge cam. So the handlers can see the first few steps their dogs are taking after they make this giant courtesy turn, or they come shooting out of the gate like they're hell bent for leather. They need to see. Oh, we should let's pull up Wayne Cavanaugh's judge cam. Ooh, that's why we didn't win.
Right. It's true. It's true. There was a nice couple of people who I talked to afterward, which said the same thing, and they smiled about it. A lot of the handlers came to me and said, "Yeah, you're right. We probably don't need to go back there and do all that."
But then I watched the group, and off they go into the corner to do something, and they come back.
Yep. And by the way, you know, we only get a minute or two a dog, and if everybody does that, that's 15, 20 seconds times your entry. That you all you're doing is staring at the corner as a judge. You're looking at the fence. You're standing there for 15, 20 seconds looking at the fence.
See, it's interesting. In Canada, in our group level, we don't have to re-examine the dogs. So I have this plan in my head, if and when I get to the sporting group, is if I call out the dog and this young handler goes way in the corner and starts fixing these things, I'm just going to move the next dog. Okay, you go. He doesn't seem to want to go, so you go. Because I don't have to examine it.
I love it. I think that's a great idea. Hey, speaking of ring procedure, Wally Sommerfeld it was really fun to watch him. He had a good size ring, but he had short hairs and he had goldens. And that can make your ring small when you have big entries like that. And they're big moving dogs. And, you know, Wally's a hunter. It's really fun to talk dogs with someone who really knows the function of the breed.
Yeah, when he uses the breed,
That to me is a huge step up. Have you shot over him? Yeah, well, then you know more than most. Anyway, he had all the dogs come in the ring. This is for the specials. He had them all, and he did it in big classes too. They'd all come in the ring. He'd check them all in, both genders in there, same time. And then he'd go down the line and check all their bites.
All get it done, man.
Get it done. And then out they went. All of them, out they went, and they came in one at a time, and they had the whole ring to themselves.
Yeah.
And he people knew they caught on. They were right there. There was no wasted time. He'd go over that dog, down and back around, and out that one came, and the other one came in. They each had the whole ring to do their own thing. It was brilliant to watch. And he's done this before, so he's got this down to a science. And he flew through it, and everybody got a full turn. Like he said to me, no one can ever say to me, "You didn't give me as much time as the other person," because everybody got the exact same time. And it was brilliant. And there's no reason you can't get creative in these things.
Well, I like it when I see a judge, he or she looks over the ring and sees the ring isn't big enough to take the whole group around. And they just change their mind and say, one at a time around the ring and keep bunching up, guys. Yeah. Because there's nothing worse than taking 20 handlers around the ring and they're all trying to catch the judge's eye and they're backing into each other, stopping, swoop, dip, turn right on it. But I try to teach that in my class. A judge looks in through this one window, time yourself.
I rarely, if I'm taking them all around at once, it's because I need a couple seconds to think. I'm early watching. I do. I always take them one at a time.
Yeah,
I just don't see any sense in taking them as a group. Hey, 20 of them going around in a circle. What do you say?
Oh, exactly. But limited time I've judged, so I'll go in, I'll do a cursory glance, and I'll just have the class around, stop up there, set the first dog up. So that's what I'll have them do sometimes. So, but if it's a big class, like I did, I had short hairs in a smaller ring in one of my first assignments. And it was a class of about 15, I guess. And I had to go around one at a time so I could see them without worrying about it. Nice.
Yeah, if it's a small enough group, you take them around. And you don't have to be looking, but you're given the time to loosen up and, you know, get
right
and all that stuff.
You just worry about, like, for some of them, it turns into a race. And the ones that aren't into racing, no, it just messes the whole bunch up. It just,
and what is funny, I just was thinking this. I saw it this weekend. When you take them all around, they don't go all around at the same time. One waits.
I hate that. Oh.
And then bam, off.
And it slows the whole bunch. And then they all get bunched up at one corner because somebody's waiting for you to look over at them. Right. And then not go.
That is funny. It is funny. It's comical. And there's the serious ones. They're always like, I'm in here because it's going to change the world peace. That's why I'm here.
I know. And those were erratic motions.
Yes. Motions all over the place. No sense of the economy of motion. Oh, man, it's beautiful. But, yeah, you see all kinds. And, you know, every time I saw a novice, I saw a judge take their time with them. And that just, you know, that's wonderful. I think that is pretty much the way everybody understands now you do it. I don't think anybody rushes through an obstacle or yells at them anymore. Boy, back in the day, the old birds did, didn't they?
Oh, my God, yeah. Remember Virginia Hampton? If you didn't get up to her spot, she'd, like, look at you and, like, come up here, young man.
Yeah.
He was 6 inches out of the spot. She still makes you. But she was a beauty. I loved her.
I like your idea of, if they don't come up fast enough, pull the next dog. It's great. They'd be back there brushing, and all of a sudden they turn around.
You missed your turn,
going over somebody else.
I'm on a schedule here.
But really, if you take 20 seconds, if you have, you know, a class of 20, and all of a sudden that's a couple minutes less that you have to look at every dog. So anyway.
Be warned out there, young men or young ladies in Canada. That's right.
And we're not the only judges to think this way, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So don't think it's just us weirdos. There's plenty of them getting sick and tired of going back there with the spray bottle. And the. I love it when they have the assistant waiting back there. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
The spray bottle and tell you, yeah, back, it's grooming again before we go. Because heaven forbid, when it moves and its hair is moving, we want it perfect. So what? So when you break the first step, the dog shakes and it all goes back to whatever it does anyway. Oh my, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Anyway, a bag of chips. So, where are you going next, young William?
Like I said, I'm judging this weekend on the Monday. We have a holiday on Monday. I don't know if you guys have a holiday this Monday. It's family day up here on Monday. So, it's the show.
Family day?
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And
that's a national holiday?
I guess so. We have a show that day. Must be.
Do the banks close?
Who goes to a bank anymore? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's how we determine whether it's a serious holiday or if the bank's closed, it's a serious one. But what a cool idea. Family Day, I love it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a national holiday. I think it is. I'd have to check.
Do you have to get a rabbit? You better call Peter.
No, that's Canada. That's Wayne Gretzky Day. We have the rabbit. We have the rabbit for dinner on Wayne Gretzky Day. You know, it's and now because Sid got his 500th goal last night, we're gonna have to have this a new holiday, the Sidney Crosby Day, and you know, Uncle George is your uncle.
That's right.
It's called Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady. Sorry. I'm looking it up now. Family Day. Yep. It's President Day down there.
Ah, I see. I see.
Yeah.
Well, we'd rather, with our luck with presidents, we'd rather have Family Day. Make it more fun for everybody rather than start war. If we had presidents down here now, the country would divide in half and start shooting each other or something. And it's terrible. this divisiveness. Let me get back to just respecting everybody's opinion and moving on.
Exactly. And you don't have to agree with them, but you need to respect them and understand it. It's freedom of choice, Wayne.
It is. And we have dumb friends, Will.
Oh, exactly.
You and I have dumb friends. They just can't help themselves, but they're not bad humans. They're just stupid. You know? They don't agree with us, right?
You think you're talking about me? Half our listeners, my mom said, they're talking about
us. Hey, he's a friend of ours. Hey, we did confuse the world this weekend. When there's a Will, there's a Wayne. That didn't happen. There was a Wayne over here and a Will over here, and we confused everybody. Everybody asked me where Will was, and everybody asked you where Wayne was.
People kept looking. They were looking.
Now we got to keep them guessing, Will. We got to keep them guessing. Right. All right. What am I doing next? I'm supposed to go to Tallahassee.
Oh, yes.
Hey, I got, you know, it's always a surprise when the judging programs come. I mean, when the premium lists come and you look and see what your assignment is. I have an assignment coming up. I thought it was one day. And it kind of is. I do the regular classes on one day. But there's also a really cool, and I love when clubs get this creative. It's a non-regular event. It's a working sporting dog, you know, a I don't know what you call it, sporting dogs and hunt event. And there's a class for all pointers, all retrievers, and all spaniels. And I get to judge each one of those. And then those three subgroups, you know, of sporting dogs get to come in together, and I crown one of them as best hunting dog. It just sounds like a really fun idea. And I've never seen it before. So
yeah, we have little events like that up here. We have like dogs from the UK and your neighbor's dogs and bringing your neighbor's dogs.
Can I live next door to you, Will? Anyway, and then I'm doing the 4 to 6 puppy thing and owner handler. I guess on Sunday, I'm doing owner handler best, which is the last thing that gets done usually. But I like
this. Where is this, Tallahassee?
No, it's in, I'm sorry, this week, coming weekend or next weekend, is Tallahassee. This is in April. I just got the premium list for it and found that all the little side jobs I've got besides judging the regular classes, doing the 4 to 6 puppies and, you know, all that stuff. And it's fun. I like doing the puppies.
Yeah. I do too.
And it's not a show that draws giant entries, because if you go to one of those, and you're going to get 150 dogs to judge in the regular classes, and they say, oh, by the way, we've got 500 puppies you're on the list for tomorrow. That's not a lot of fun. That's not a lot of fun. But, hats off to those clubs that are coming up with creative ideas to keep people coming. And in this case, they're trying to get the hunting dogs in, which I think is wonderful. So there you have it.
Well, you're a good draw for a hunting group. So
yeah, they're all shooting. That's why.
Right. Just keep moving. Serpentine.
There's traps everywhere. Well, I'm going to ask them all to quarter the ring and see how that goes. Plant some birds. Do you remember, young William, when they used to plant birds at Westminster?
No, I do not.
No. And I'm going to forget her name.
I remember the moving robots that freaked out some dogs with the camera.
This is a while ago. This is in my childhood.
Your dog down and back.
Believe it or not, and can you imagine if this happened today? Before the sporting group, well, before the groups, they had, you know, those boxes that say your breed name?
Yeah.
The boy red boxes. They put several of those in the middle of the ring. And with some straw, and then you dizz a bird and stick it in there. You had that job, the kids dizz a bird, stick it in there. And by the way, that's not cruel, ladies and gentlemen. You take the bird and you swing around with it, and they get disoriented, so they stay put. That's the idea. And then they turn loose some bird dog, go out there and point them.
In the sporting group?
In the group ring. Can you that would be fun during the group. But this was in the group ring.
Okay.
It was an exhibition. And then... I'm going to forget her name. It might be Mandy something, but Eddie would know. She'd come in livery and run her beagles around.
Wow.
Off lead in a pack. But they're a live game there, and I'm sure that would not go over. They didn't kill anybody. Nobody got killed, but they did get dizzed and stuck in the middle of New York City in a pile of straw in a box that says Basenji. So or whatever it said on it. Wow. So it was really cool.
That would be fun. When you first said it, I thought, during the group, but I guess I wasn't thinking it's too early. So
if I was to produce a dog show on TV again, or if they had the budget to do so, say Westminster, I would love to see when the judge is going over the Hoosla or the, you know, Botswana hound, whatever it might be. I would love to see a real quick vignette B-roll of that dog doing its job. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
Just a quick shot of, okay, next up is a Labrador. And while you're explaining that the dog's walking up, you could say, this is what they do. And here he is.
That's a good thing. Idea. Yeah, that's, I really like that idea.
What it would do, it would bring the viewers would think, oh, this is real. It's right. Not just a movie contest. And, you know, and also give you an idea of, oh, this is what I got to look for in this breed, the function that it's good for. And
that's a great idea. I think
3 second B-roll. That's all you need.
Yep.
And you could do it for every breed.
That'd be fun. That would be fun to sit there. You'd find yourself watching the Jumbotron a lot.
You know, yeah, you so, would. Yeah, and you can do it for every breed. You know, when it comes to toy breeds, you can just show them in their, you know, in their habitat with the queen, or, you know, collecting fleas at the end of the straw bed or wherever it might
be. Rats off the bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be really cool because every breed has a function.
Yep.
And regardless of what you may think, they all are functional animals. So, yeah, it'd be really cool to show them in art or whatever it has to be, and then bring the camera right back. Because really, it's fun to watch them go down and back. Primarily, I think the average viewer looks at the shoes. I think they like to see the people's shoes, Will.
Unless you're Jimmy Kimmel, you like to see the whole thing and take the dog out of there and have the handlers down back.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Yeah. You know, we never get to see the whole dog and handler anymore. It's just they're all tight shots anymore.
And but, you gotta love the people are watching. Well, what dog is that? Who's showing it?
Yeah, I know. It's true, isn't it? Is that a good one? Let me see. Oh no, it's not.
Who's showing that? Who is that? Oh, that's so and so. I recognize the shoe.
Or it's even funnier when the announcers at dog shows don't realize that there's been a change of handlers because the handlers won 5 breeds in that group. And they keep saying,
oh, so-and-so must have lost. Oh, you mean that? They start calling. Yeah, I was Lori Crandallmeyer the first time I was in the hound group with Miss. Wait,
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That is perfect. Yeah, I can just see it now. But yeah. It's all beautiful. So it was great to see so many friends from afar coming up to Grays Lake. And it's a great, I mean, these guys, you know, Scott File and Ken and that crew, they just put on a great, great event. It takes an army, but boy, they do. The rings are shiny clean at all times after 5 days. And everything is run like a Swiss watch. You know, the bus is there to pick up the judges and everything's taken care of. It's a really nice, they do it Novi too as well.
Obviously. That's my fear. My fear is I'm going to be sitting in a bus stop one time and Mr. Alexander, your bus is waiting for you and I'll wake yourself up. And
yeah.
Sorry, I just wandered off there.
Mr. Alexander, the judges are all loading up to get on the bus. You, however, have your own stop. It's going to be the actual bus station. We're taking these people to a hotel. You're leaving.
I'll try harder.
Here's your one ticket home to Toronto. Jeez. Oh, all right. Well,
I want to end with one story because I think it's
sure. Fun. Sure.
We have this friend up here in Canada, and his name is Erwin. And he's a great guy, and he shows German Shepherds. And he's an older gentleman. He's definitely in his 70s, and he shows German Shepherds, and that's his passion. And it's the German Shepherds, so it's the big dogs with the they get under the wheel back and they like drive. But he's so funny. He sits at ringside, and in Canada you're allowed to practice in the empty rings. You're allowed to
warm your dogs. Heaven forbid.
Exactly. We're allowed to. So he sits there watching this one guy running his shepherds around, wearing them out for the ring, like getting them in timing better or whatnot. And his line was, I could do that, but I like to be surprised.
Good for him. Good for him.
He is so funny. Oh, well. All right.
I can tell you with a judge that knows how to hunt or has shot over bird dogs, you might go around more than you think you should. and they want to make sure this dog can hold up for a couple laps, but all that and more. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again. And thanks so much for your comments on the road and emails and messages. We really do appreciate it. Keep them coming. Young William, send us home, buddy.
Party on, Garth, and stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you the next shows.
Peace be with you.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no way.
Down Rocky Cliffs. Killed it. Bury my sins. Shattered glass. And use this in the blooper reel.
Can't hold me back from where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Taking yourself damn seriously.
Watch the moon. Thanks for under thanks, my feet. Stranger things have come and gone.
I wonder what she looks like.